Our scripture reading this morning is from Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his Son, who as through his earthly life was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him we received grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake. And you also are among those Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be his holy people, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank our brother in Christ for helping us to continue in our time of worship. Join with me in prayer. Father, we want to thank you for this day, for how you continue to speak into our lives, how in this, your sanctuary, this holy ground, you remind us that we belong to you. And Father, we thank you also for joy that you fill us with as we seek to discern your call in our lives. Keep us open to hearing, to listening, to sensing, to feeling. Thank you for your love that washes over us. And it's in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. A couple of observations to start out with this morning. There is a particular exit from the Fry's parking lot in the foothills over here. And there is a sign up there that has an arrow pointing towards the right. And it says, only. Now, what is your sense, what is your interpretation of that? You're only supposed to go to the right. You're only supposed to turn to the right. And yet, you know, in my unscientific observation and study of that particular exit, the percentage of people that turn right, approximately 50%. And I drive up to somebody and I see them with the left blinker on. I'm saying, don't you know what the sign says? I want to get out and share that important news with them, but they would drive over my toes probably or not wish me a Merry Christmas or maybe signal me in some other way that is not very Christ-like. That leads me to my second observation, that whenever I come in and I sit here, and this is something that I love to do, I love to go like this. And it's always interesting because I can see people, some of you sitting there like, you don't know, should I raise my hand? Is he waving at me? Is it the person behind me? And you know what? I encourage you to wave boldly right now. Just wave at somebody boldly. There we go. It's wonderful, isn't it? Because whenever you're out driving around, you can wave at people. And it's kind of a game you can play and see the looks that they give you whenever they're driving by. And I love to do that. I like to wave and act like I really know them and wave, and they go. They start talking to the person next to them. For us, the direction that we are called to take is very clear. We are called to follow God. We are called to follow God through Jesus Christ. And we are called to follow God empowered by God's Holy Spirit at work in our lives. And yet we make other plans, don't we? It says turn right, and we put on our blinkers. I'm going to go left. God, I know what your word says, but I have a better plan. God, I have a better plan than you, the creator of the universe. God, I have a better plan than you, the one who first breathed life into me. God, I have a better plan than you, the one who sent the purest, most powerful, life-changing form of love, the form of a baby, this time of year. I have a better plan than you, okay? So when I need you, I'll get back to you. Paul, in this letter to the early church, is reminding them of their foundation, is reminding them of the direction that they are called to follow, a direction of grace, a direction of healing, a direction based on love. And I think maybe that's why there are a lot of folks that have a problem with this idea of following God, because they're an individual. They're a self-made man or woman. There's no such thing, by the way. This idea of trusting, this idea of vulnerability before God is a struggle. And at times, it takes effort just to be able to humble ourselves, to be willing to follow and listen. But it's the most worthwhile path. It's the path that is the most fulfilling. It's the path that is the most healing. It's sustaining. It's wondrous. And even when we put on the left turn blinker, the right turn only lane, in our lives, I'm saying, when we do our own thing, God's grace and God's love is still at work in our lives. Now, isn't that amazing? The next time you hear that hymn or sing that hymn, Amazing Grace, that's what it's talking about. God at work in our lives, even when we're not paying attention, even when we're ignoring God. This salutation, this greeting that Paul offers right at the beginning of Romans. By the way, I think Romans, out of all the letters, I think that's Paul's most inspired. That's just my own personal opinion. Paul's writings speak to us and offer a powerful message of resurrection, point to the resurrection. But I think in Romans, Paul kind of reaches a pinnacle, if you will. And Paul addresses that early church and begins his letter with these words of salutation. And what strikes me is that anymore, how is communication done? Right? Email? Text? I have to admit to you, there are some people in our congregation that text me, and they text in symbols, and it's not complete sentences or words, and I have no idea what they're talking about. So sometimes I just say, praying for you, God loves you. And I figured that covers it, right? I mean, no matter what somebody says to you, good or bad, praying for you, God loves you. And they might receive and say, boy, what's the matter with this guy? This idea of writing a letter, writing a note, it's not lost, but it's not necessarily as common either. Even beginning something dear and then filling in the name. Paul begins this letter with substance. Paul begins this letter with some meaning, with some meat. A commentary on this offered this phrase: we live in an age of promiscuous communication. More messages and less meaning. This letter was sent in an age when a letter was received and there was big news, and especially big news to receive something from Paul. Now, this early church, this particular church, had never met Paul. Paul was planning on being there, but he wanted to also receive support from them. And he wanted to be able to receive their support in every way that they would offer, because he was taking the gospel out into the world and sharing the good news, and he needed that support. Paul begins this letter by saying, a servant of Jesus Christ. He begins with that personal relationship that he has with God through Christ. He begins with intimacy. Paul, a servant, someone who is serving in the name of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. And apostle, that word means sent out. Called to be sent out in the name of Jesus Christ. Set apart for the good news of God. That is what I'm all about, Paul is saying. I'm all about the good news. I'm all about sharing the good news. That's my bottom line. Nothing else. Which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scripture. Paul here is pointing to the fact that the prophets also pointed towards Jesus. And in some of our Sundays in Advent, we've remembered that, haven't we? We've read from Isaiah. We've heard what Isaiah had to say, pointing towards the coming of Emmanuel, God with us. This coming of God's grace through Christ. The gospel concerning his son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, in the lineage of David, and was declared to be son of God with power according to the spirit of holiness by resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for the sake of his name, including yourselves who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all God's beloved in Rome, who are called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, that's all one sentence. If you look at it, check it out. Man, saying that in one breath, do you think that you could even do that? That's a lot, isn't it? That's an awful lot to say and offer. But Paul is pointing towards God's work through Christ. God's atonement for our sins through Christ. Christ and what he did for us on the cross. How that relationship with God through Christ continues to fill us and sustain us. And how God continues to speak into our lives through Jesus Christ. This is not necessarily the most, quote, Christmassy, end quote, scripture, is there? Nothing necessarily about the birth of Jesus. Nothing about wise men. Nothing about a manger or a cave. But it points to the very essence of what this journey, of this Advent journey, is all about. Focusing on how we are connected with God through Jesus Christ. And before that, opening ourselves to how God has spoken into our lives through offering Christ for us. Now, Christmas, the offering of the Christ child, okay, that gift of salvation. This journey that we're on, opening ourselves to how God speaks into our lives. And remember, whenever I said God speaks into our lives, what that means? God's creating in our lives, believe it or not. I think that's a big challenge for a lot of people to understand, that God's creating in their lives. God's done with me. What could God possibly want to use me for? How could God work through me? What do I have to offer? Well, it's not up to you. It's up to God. And God never stops working in the lives of his children and his people. Never. So God never stops creating either. What are we called to take from this? Well, I think we have to understand and reflect on this fourth Sunday in Advent, how is this gift of Christ changing us? We've had a lot of things to do in December, okay? I'll say December, I mean Advent on this journey. We've had a lot of things to check off. Some of them, the church has actually added to our list, like with the angel tree. Oh, now I got to go out. Oh, when am I supposed to get that gift in? Who said it? Be honest. You got it in, and you put it under that tree, and maybe, boy, that was one more thing that you had to do. But thank you for doing that, by the way. But how has God changed us, molded us, filled us, and sustained us through Christ? How is God calling you to be different? How is God washing over you with grace? And how is God at work in your life, guiding what you do and say? I was looking at the mission and the purpose and the vision of this particular church, this body of Christ, on our website recently, because Paul was really encouraging the early church not just to be status quo, or not just to be a group that's gathered or another club. Paul was calling them to be something different. As he had been changed, as he was no longer the same and never would be, he was reminding all of those who would hear that it's the same situation in their lives as well. Let me read the mission and purpose and vision. The mission of the church is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. It's a good mission, isn't it? Making disciples of Christ. As we've been changed, as we are disciples of Christ, we are called to also help that happen in other lives. Our mission statement, coming together to grow together in Jesus Christ and moving out to make disciples for Christ. Now, whenever it says coming together to grow together, it doesn't reference the amount of donuts and cookies that we have here. I mean, like growing. It means growing inwardly and growing together and encouraging one another to grow so that whenever we go out from this place, we'll be prepared to share something. We'll be prepared to invite somebody to church. We'll be prepared to share with somebody the good news of Jesus Christ and what God is doing in their lives through Christ. Are you prepared to do that? Just a reflection. Our purpose statement, love the Lord with all your heart. Love your neighbors as ourselves. That's a tough one, isn't it? What's that phrase? God loves you, and I'm trying. Go and make disciples, baptizing them, teaching them to obey all that Jesus commanded. And then a vision statement. This place shall be a place of worship for all God's people, shall provide a Christian preschool for the community, and shall be a center for religious and community activity. Now, the early church didn't have any of these statements, but Paul, in this letter and in these introductory remarks, is encouraging them to grow as with Christ at the center. Not just getting together for fellowship, although that's important. Not just getting together for food, although that's important as well. But getting together, focusing on Christ when they're together, and then ready to share what has happened in their lives through Christ with the world, taking it out into the world. Why am I talking about this at Christmas? Because that's the basic message of this season. Christ. That is the bottom line. Jesus Christ. Come into the world, Emmanuel, God with us, and at work in our lives. Once again, the question, how has God changed you through Christ this Advent season? Now, if you're sitting there and thinking, I don't feel particularly changed, you're not on the naughty list, don't worry. But if you're saying, I don't feel particularly changed, maybe it's just because you're not noticing the change. Maybe it's a change that's happening in an area that you haven't really looked at in your life. Or maybe it's a change that's happening that's kind of underneath the surface that's yet to be revealed. My words of encouragement to you is that if you are in the Holy Word, the living Word of God, the Bible, if you are in worship, fellowship as believers, if you are open in prayer to how God is speaking and guiding you, then God has been changing you through Christ. God has been doing that. Because if you're doing all of those things, then you can't help to be changed by God through Jesus Christ. So amidst all of the accoutrements of Christmas or the season, the bottom line is, how have we been open to God preparing us to be in mission in the name of Jesus Christ, to share that name, to really share it, to offer ourselves for God, to really believe that prayer, Lord, here I am, and seek to follow it, to humble ourselves? We're almost ready to light that center candle, the Christ candle. My prayer is that when we light it this year, it will remind us, each of us, of how the light of Christ glows in our heart in a whole new way this season. I'd like you to take a few moments of reflection to think about Jesus, to think about the baby, but also to think about the Savior, to think about that sacrifice on the cross, but also to think about the resurrection. Paul mentions and references Christ right at the beginning of this letter to the early church, and he speaks to the present-day church as well. How is Christ at the center of your celebrations this Christmas? How is that same Jesus changing you?